Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Well, good morning, church. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, everyone who's joining for us for the first time. We trust and hope that you were made to feel welcome. And now, just so you all know, today is Pentecost Sunday. Did you know that? Did you know that? That is when you celebrate the day where heaven basically met earth, right? And the church was birthed. And if you don't notice, we're a Pentecostal church, which means we believe that the presence of God is on us, not for some weird, funny things, but the presence of God is on us to change the world around us. And we meet together on Sundays to just encounter God, to meet with God, to ask God for His presence on us as you go into a week, that His presence can be on us and with us to change the world around us. And today, this word is nothing short of that. I want to encourage you, let's lean in, let's see people who press in, because what I feel God has to say for us today is something that not only change our inner worlds, but change our external worlds. And on this Pentecost Sunday, how great would it be if God can meet with us and give us exactly what we need in our lives? Everyone expecting? Everyone excited? Cool. Well, so we're starting a brand new sermon series called Stronger, as Pastor Candace said. It's my privilege to open up this series for us. And with that, Pastor Byron, Pastor Candace, and Pastor Byron's in Edenville today. But just thank you for the privilege. I do not take it lightly. But church, I want to ask you today, have you ever had one of those days or those seasons, those weeks, those months, where you feel like you're doing all the right things? You're showing up, you're putting in the effort, but yet you still feel unseen or unnoticed? Like you're putting your heart into something, but it seems like nobody even looks up, nobody thanks you, no one even sees what you're doing. Or maybe you've poured yourself out into something, your life, your heart into something, you've put your best effort in, and it feels like your best effort doesn't get noticed, but someone else's bare minimum gets the spotlight. Or maybe you've walked in this life and you felt there's more for me in this life. There's got to be more than what's around me. Well, can I encourage you today that this message is for us. For those of us who feel like that, this message is for us. Because what seems to go unnoticed with people is deeply noticed by heaven. And whatever we do, God sees and notices and uses for His glory. If there ever was a person who could feel like their life doesn't matter, who could feel like that their best effort doesn't get noticed, is a one man with the name Robin Granger. Meet Robin Granger with me. Robin Granger is a comedian. He's that's how he makes his money. That's how he pays his bills. It's his graft. Now, Robin Granger writes about one of the best shows he's ever performed. And so he says in the show, 2 minutes before the show's about to start, his tech operator comes to him and says, 2 minutes warning, you're about to go up. He asks his tech operator, Eric, like, how many people are there? And he said, there's one. One solitary ticket sale, or one mic cast, paid his ticket, ready to hear and ready to experience the material that Robin Granger has to offer. Who knows, you have a decision to make in that space. But Robin Granger decided to soldier on with his slot at the stand-up comedy club, did his best work. He said he did a lot of off-the-cuff things and tailored the show to Mike Cass. Mike Cass later tweeted and said, I heard Robin Granger, he made me laugh so hard. I was the only person in the audience and it was amazing. Then Robin Granger retweeted that. And the next show for Robin Granger was a near sellout night because of what happened. But you know, and I know that performing for the audience of one, for one person, must be very, very hard. But church, today the invitation for us is this. There's power and strongness in living for the audience of one. There's power in living for the audience of one. Our lives is at its strongest. We're talking about being stronger, right? Our lives is at its strongest when we live for the audience of one. As Christ followers, we are invited to live for Jesus and Jesus alone. Live for our Father in heaven. Our lives are strongest when we live for Him. Jesus teaches us that it's the very best way to live. In Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached, no one will ever come near that, Jesus dedicates a large portion of His sermon to tell us that we should learn to live for the audience of one. So it must be very important, right? If Jesus said it, it's very important. But let's read it together, because I can see you don't believe me. Let's read it together in Matthew 6, verses 1 to 18. There's a bit of joke over there. So if you want to laugh, you're welcome to. Okay, cool. Just joke. Cool. Jesus says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will not have your reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with the trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the streets, corners, to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. This is then how you should pray, Jesus says. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Please wash your face, so it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Can you notice with me how Jesus showed us how to serve him, how to live for him, how to live our lives? Can you notice with me how Jesus mentions the word seen a lot? He says the word unseen a lot as well. He says, do not announce with trumpets that you're giving. Don't let anyone see, like, I'm going to give right now. You know, you could have brought a 50 rand note to church, but now you brought 10 5 rand coins and you clicked them around. You know what I'm saying? And when they go into the basket, it's like, but now we have those baskets that don't make a noise. So you're like, oh, dang it. So you shake it beforehand and then you throw it in, you know? It says, do not pray so that everyone can see. So don't walk into the cafe. Hey, I'm going to pray for everybody. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Everybody gets a prayer. No, he says, do it in secret. I'm not saying praying for people is wrong, but what I am saying is if you do it for the wrong heart. That's what Jesus is saying. It says, do not disfigure your face when you're fasting. Don't look to your left and right now. But maybe you offered someone food once and they said, no, sorry, I can't eat sugar. I offered you food, not sugar. I can't eat sugar because I'm fasting. Why do you have to announce to me that you're fasting? Just say no. You know what I'm saying? He says, do not let others see, because if you do it for the heart to be seen, you have received your reward in full. Jesus is saying, do not worry if others notice you or not. Do not worry if success runs in front of you or not. Do not worry if everything pans out the way you want it to or not. He says, live for the audience of one. Live for Jesus and his approval and his power alone. And today, church, I want to talk about living for the audience of one, how our lives are strongest when we live for the audience of one. And Jesus warns us to not live for the audience of people. Because when you live for the audience of people, we live for applause. When you live for the audience of one, we live for purpose. See what happens with me? When you start living for the audience of people, applause starts to replace purpose. We stop living for Jesus and what he has for us. We start living for what other people has for us. And what a subpar reward, what a sub way of living. So Jesus is showing us there's a few dangers. There's a few dangers of living for the audience of people. I'm going to give a few dangers for you that I noticed, just with the analogy of a crowd and a stage, and just the dangers of living for the audience of people. See, when you live for the audience of people, or the applause of the audience of people, the people will never give us eternal purpose. The applause of an audience of people will never give us eternal purpose. So Jesus is firstly saying, if you don't live for the audience of one, if you live for people, you'll never have that eternal purpose that he has for us. Any other life lived for other than for Jesus is a subpar life, a subpar reward, and not worth living for. No one's approval can carry you through the tough times of your life. No one's applause, like, well done, will carry you through those difficult circumstances when you're home alone and there's an addiction that you face. You can be an artist, a painter, and Vincent van Gogh himself can tell you, you're amazing, you're incredible, you're the best at what you do. And when you go through a tough time, that compliment will fade very quickly, because compliments are not there to sustain us. You'll never have eternal purpose if you live for the audience of people. So Jesus is saying, do not live for the audience of people, but live for the audience of one. You see, if the audience of people don't give us eternal purpose, well, when you live for the audience of one, he will give us eternal purpose. When you live for the audience of one, we live for eternal purpose. When Jesus moves into our lives, we get the purpose that only he has. The very hole that I have inside of me is the only thing that he can fill. He's the only one who can fill it. No one else can fill it. No success, nothing can fill that. Only Jesus can. In fact, Jesus cheers us on for the purpose that he's created us for. And if we deviate from that, we will start to feel like our lives are lacking something because we were made for a specific purpose. When you live for the audience of one, we receive eternal purpose. We have moments where we do something, and in that moment, we feel like we lack nothing. I don't know if you ever had that experience. You're doing something for God. God has called you to a place. Maybe it's a prayer thing. Maybe it's a preaching thing. Maybe it's a worship thing. Maybe it's just a thing at work. And in that moment, you're like, man, I love what I'm doing in this space. Maybe you volunteer at Shine and just, yes, I love this. Because you're living in the purpose of God. And Jesus wants us to get to that space where we feel like we lack nothing because we are living for him. So the danger is when you live for an audience of people, we never have eternal purpose. But the good side is when you live for the audience of one, we receive eternal purpose. An audience of people, next danger, audience of people leaves nothing behind when the show is over. The audience of people leave nothing behind when the show is over. People, this life will end. Church, this life will end. Right? This life will end. The audience will fade. The compliments will fade. The compliments will be forgotten. And we should be careful that when all those things fade away, that we're not left with nothing. When we stand before God and say, this is how I spent my life. For in the end, we'll be left before God and to account for him for a purpose. Charles Spurgeon says, if from now on we serve the Lord and not men, then we must look to the Lord for our reward and not to men. We can postpone our reward and we can be content instead of receiving present praise to be misunderstood and misrepresented. For when the reward does come, how glorious it will be. An hour with Jesus will make up for a lifetime of persecution. One smile from him will repay us 1,000 times over for all the disappointments and discouragements we face. Let's not live for the people who will leave our lives. They leave nothing behind when they leave. So if the danger is if the audience of people leave nothing when the show is over, well then the good side is when you live for the audience of one, can I say, when you live for the audience of one, the show is never over. The show is never over. What I do here on earth is just the beginning. It's just a small step in my life in eternity. You see, when does life stop? When I breathe my last breath, when I close my eyes, I'll open up my eyes in heaven. And I'll be met with the Father in heaven. I'll live for all eternity with all the purpose that I have in my life. How glorious, how amazing. All sin gone. All addiction gone. All loneliness gone. All brokenness gone. All sadness gone. All depression gone. All feel like I don't have enough gone. What a glorious thing to live our lives for. We can live for Jesus with power and purpose and to have something beyond this world. How sad it will be to die and have no life afterwards. But when you live for the audience of one, you say, Jesus, I give my life to you. The show never ends. My life never ends. I have purpose with Jesus. The third danger that we see when you live for the audience of one, or for the audience of people, is the applause of an audience of people is short-lived and impactless. Is short-lived and impactless. Have you ever thought about why a clap is a short sound? Like applause is a short sound in nature. In fact, for applause to mean something, it needs to be repeated over and over again by thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But even then, when it stops, it stops. So by nature, we can see that the sound of applause was never meant to carry us. It was never meant to sustain us. It was never meant to hold us through our lives. Applause by nature is short and impactless. But the good thing is when you live for the audience of one, the applause of the one is everlasting and makes the biggest impact. The applause for the audience of one is everlasting and makes the biggest impact. When I live for Jesus, the very words that he breathes on me and speaks to me makes an impact in my life, right? It changes my entire world. But can I say right now as well, those words that are spoken into me by Jesus get spoken through me to other people. And my life starts to make an impact on the world around me. Can you see how the living for an audience of one is not just about receiving something from God and having an impact on my life, but it makes an impact on the world around me. When I live for the audience of one, my life has the biggest impact that it could possibly have. So you feel like you want to make a difference in this world. If you feel like there's something more to this world, can I say right now, living for an audience of one is the way to that purpose. What hope we can spread with our words. What hope we can spread of our lives. What a gift we can give to people around us when you live for the audience of one. A life lived for Jesus shakes the brokenness of this world to rubble and leaves the glory of his light and love. I know about you, I want to shake the brokenness of this world to rubble. I want to shake, when a teenager comes to youth, I want to shake the brokenness that he faces to rubble and I leave him with the light and the glory of Jesus. And the only way I can do that is to live for the audience of one, because I myself must experience that love and light before I can do that for others. So living for the audience of one makes a bigger impact. The fourth danger that we can see when we live for the audience of people is the audience of people never goes behind a curtain. They never go behind a curtain. The most important work we can do with our lives is the work behind the curtain, the internal, the things no one else sees, our character, our souls. See, the audience of people never goes there. They never know what we go through. And if we're not careful, if we live for the audience of people, we'll spend all our lives working on how we look externally and never work on what's inside of us. You can have all the smiles and all the good things, but inside you know you're struggling. Because a big audience is hungry and they want to see success now. And as a result, our entire lives is consumed by our external and never our internal. The only way our lives can make a genuine impact and have a purpose in this world is if we're just as consumed, if not more consumed, with not just the external, but also the internal. If we can just focus on what's going on in the inside of me, because when we start to do that, because everything flows from our lives, everything flows from our souls, everything flows from our characters. The only way we can live a life of purpose is to make sure that we work on the internal. So the audience never goes behind the curtain. C.S. Lewis says this: God shows much more of himself to some people than to others, not because he has favorites, but because it's impossible for him to show himself to a man whose whole mind and character are going in the wrong direction or in the wrong condition. Just as sunlight, though it has no favorites, cannot be reflected in a dusty mirror as clearly as in a clean one. So when we live for people, we spend less and less time working on the internal, and we start to reflect Jesus less and less. Living for the audience of one, however, we know the audience of one knows everything that goes behind the curtain. See, Jesus knows everything that goes behind the curtain. That's a positive side of it. When I live for Jesus, he knows everything that's behind the curtain. Aren't you glad that Jesus knows all the dodginess that you are, that I am, all the stuff that we have, all the stuff that you go through, and he still loves you? Aren't you glad you don't have to hide from him? When you worship, you don't have to pretend. You can be like, Jesus, I was terrible today. I worship you anyway. Aren't you glad that he sees that and he loves you still? Aren't you glad that he goes behind the curtain and he doesn't just go, ooh, that needs to be fixed. No, he cheers you on. He encourages you. He prays with you. He tries to give purpose into your space. He tries to give love and light into your life so that when you are performing, when you're living on the stages of your life where everyone sees you, that you can be the best version of yourself. Aren't you glad that Jesus does it? He goes behind the curtain. He's with you. He's there for you. He wants to encourage you. Living for the audience of one, it's the only way we can reconcile our brokenness with purpose, right? He works behind the curtain. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to just live this life knowing that I messed up. I don't have purpose in spite of the fact that I messed up, right? The only way is to live for the audience of one. The last danger I want to highlight is that when you live for the audience of people, they are simply critics who have not invested into the show. We must be careful to listen to people and to live for people who don't have our best in mind. Be careful to change who you are based on people who have never invested something into your life. Be careful to change your whole future and your value system based on people who will soon exit from your life. How silly it would be to pay the price that we have, to do the healing that we've done in private, to build the character that we've built, to make the sacrifice that we've made, all to lose it based off the opinions of people who are no longer in our lives. You see, but when you live for the audience of one, the audience of one is our Father in heaven, who has invested everything into our lives. Where people have invested nothing into lives, Jesus gave it all for us. In one moment, he died on the cross so that we can have everything in heaven. All our sins are forgiven. We are made whole. We have light. We have love. We have purpose. We have the very resources of heaven at the very tips of our fingers. So I don't live for anyone else when Jesus gave it all for me. He's invested all into our lives, all into our hearts. I would live for the audience of one because Jesus gave it all for me. All the love we could ever need, he gives. All the wisdom we could ever need, he gives. All the faith we could ever want, he gives. If we just choose to live for the audience of one and not for people. Once again, how silly to live for the audience of people who have not invested and to neglect Jesus who've invested everything into our lives. You see the dangers now of living for the audience of people. And so when we live for the audience of one though, we receive the ultimate reward, who is Jesus. receive the ultimate reward, who is Jesus, the one who can fill every crack of loneliness with love and acceptance, the one who brings light to every darkness, the one who brings purpose out of our pain, the one who brings joy and life to the full, the author of life and the one who gives it to the full, the sin-erasing, love-lavishing, purpose-giving God, the only one who can fill those holes inside of us, the only one who can help us feel full inside, that Jesus, the one who can do inside of us and through us that no one else can, the Jesus who can turn our brokenness and dodginess into something beautiful for His glory in His name. That's the reward that I give when I live for the audience of one. I know about you, I don't live for the audience of people anymore. But yet we do. Right? You know, I know this stuff. Yeah, I do. But why do we still do this? Why do you still choose to live for the audience of people? That's a good question to ask. Maybe it's comfort. Maybe we're just too comfortable. It's hard to be criticized, to be seen as different. It's hard to make those changes. It's hard to rebudget and start tithing. It's hard to I can't do that anymore. We're just too comfortable. But if you're not careful, comfort will lead us away from purpose and take us to applause. The second thing that maybe do it is desire for approval. We want to be liked by people, right? No one likes to not be liked. So we do things, we say things, we change our lives just for those likes and those approvals. We post things that we aren't really those people, but we post things because we want to impress our bosses, we want to impress our friends, we want to impress those around us. And all of a sudden, slowly but surely, applause starts to replace purpose. Maybe there's cultural pressure. No one else is doing it. No one else in my workspace prays before they go to work. No one else, no other business leaders that I meet with at conferences invests money into Shine or invests money into church. Why would I do it? You see, the only way our money and our finances and who we are and all that we are can have purpose is if we live for the audience of one. We've got to push through that cultural pressure. And the fourth reason is we believe the lie that I want more than Jesus. We've been tricked into thinking that Jesus is not enough. Remember the first sin, Adam and Eve? You can be like God. You can have more than God. That's the danger we have. We think that Jesus, you're not enough, I need more. Jesus, you can't give me enough. If we truly know who Jesus is, we'll never want anything else in this life. We end up letting our desire for power, our lust for more, our lust for fame, drive us away from the very purpose that we were created for. So church, today, we have a decision. Are we going to bow down to these cultures, these reasons, or are we going to choose to live for the audience of one? I'm going to live for the audience of people, I'm going to live for the audience of one. I'm going to live for applause, I'm going to live for purpose. Like Robin Granger, I had to make a decision. Do I perform for the one, or do I stop the show? The question lies before us today. And I think Robin Granger in that space had to let his dream for the crowd die. I don't know if some of us, some dreams need to die today. If you're going to make the decision to live for the audience of one. Some things that we're like, this is who I want to be. And Jesus is like, no, I've got something better for you. We have a decision to make today. But can I say, make that decision? Can I encourage you, please make that decision? It is the best life that you can live and I can live. It's the fullest life that we can live. We have to make a decision. We have to let our dream for the crowd die today. So what decisions do we need to make? So I'm going to give us a few decisions now that we can make today. To help us live for audience of one. I don't encourage you right now in this space. Just take one. Take one that you feel like this applies to my life and just do that one well. It's better than to take five and to do none of them. You know what I'm saying? Take one and do it well. But the first decision we need to make is significance above convenience. We need to decide to live for the audience of one. I need to choose significance over convenience. I need to choose what's most important over what just is least important. The road to purpose, church, is plotted with potholes of convenience. Avoid them. Drive around them. Move around them. Do not fall into them. Does this mean that it's my birthday on Saturday and I'm rostered for kids on Sunday and I'm still show up? Yes. That's what it means. All of the kids church leaders said? I can see you are the ones who don't show up. Yeah. Yes, because my life matters for something. Every time I teach something to kids, their lives can change. Can I say right now, your birthday is amazing and I'm so excited for your birthday. Well done. But can I say when that kid meets Jesus and his life changes forever and in 10, 20 years' time you see them preaching God's word or changing the community, what a reward that would be. You'll forget about your birthday, but you'll never forget that. What do you mean I have to go to life group on Wednesday? Does my presence really matter today? Yes, it does. You have a story to share. You have a testimony. You have wisdom from God to share that someone else needs to hear. And someone else has a story and wisdom to share that you need to hear. But my life group's multiplying. I have to go to another life group now. Yes, that's good. Still go up. Still show up. Why? Because your life group's growing. What an amazing thing. More people are moving towards Jesus. Sorry, you got the short end of the stick, but it doesn't matter. You are living for purpose. You're living for the audience of one, not for the audience of your life group. Choose significance over convenience. But coming to church in winter is so inconvenient. And online is so convenient. Your presence in the building matters. God's presence in the building matters. Can you experience God at home? By all means, yes. But can you give here? Can you give to other people at home in a sacrificial way and pray for them and encourage them and inspire them? Probably not. Unless it's your wife or your kids or I don't know. And maybe they don't even want to hear it. But can I say right now, your presence matters here. You have something to do in this space. But can I also say, when you're in the building with people, God can meet you and encourage you and encounter you and change your life forever. My youth boss always used to say, you've got to have an every day to have a one day. Don't show up one day and expect a one day amazing experience with God. No, show up every day to get that one day. Which is significance over convenience. I wonder if Pastor Candace and Pastor Byron one day had to just preach from their bed. I mean, we have the gear. We can do it. I promise you. We can live stream from Pastor Candace's home. I wonder what it would look like if she goes, in bed, hair's all messed up, gown. Good morning, church. So great to see you. I wonder how significant that message will be. I wonder how life-changing that would be. You're going to think, what is she wearing? What's going on? What's the thing next to a bedside table? Why is the coffee spilled on the blanket? What's going on over here? Can I say right now, significance does not happen in spaces of convenience, church. You can never be convenient and significant at the same time. Why do you think it's so hard to do all the good things and so easy to do all the bad things? Because the devil has trapped us into convenience. You've got to break through it because significance is on the other side of convenience. But Han, my business has nothing to do with God. It's my work. Yes, that's true. But can I say your business and your wealth can have significance beyond you, beyond me, beyond your life, if we choose to make it live for the audience of one. Our businesses can impact eternity, church. Our finances can impact eternity. We can make everything exist for the audience of one. So let's make a decision today to choose significance above convenience. The second decision we got to make is obedience above applause. Obedience above applause. We live for the audience of one when you decide to be obedient in spite of people recognizing my obedience. So maybe you're I'm going to tithe, making the decision. I'm going to tithe right now, irrespective of whether people see it or not. Irrespective of people notice it or not. Irrespective of whether I see blessing or not. Irrespective of whether I see whatever happens. No, I'm going to be obedient to God. Because I don't live for people. I don't live for success. I live for the audience of one. I don't live for purpose. My finances become significant when I give it to God. But maybe you go, no, but I want to sing on platform. I want to be a vocalist. But now they're asking me to serve at the back. Well, join the queue, okay? I've been auditioning for this band for many, many years. And they tell me no every time. They still send me at the back. But can I tell you right now, I've seen moments of significance that I could never imagine happen from the back over there. I've seen people worship at Encounter Night, looking through the camera lens, and God has given them breakthrough. I've seen people who've been told you can't get pregnant. And you know, I've seen people who said like there's no hope for you, and then they get healed. And I've just seen amazing things that God's done from the back over there. I've seen them kneel at the back over there. What a significant thing. Please, whatever. Just choose. Choose obedience above applause. Obey God no matter what. Start serving. He's tugging on your heart. Start serving. Start giving. Start praying. Choose obedience. Choose obedience. You should choose integrity. Third decision. Choose integrity above image. Choose integrity above image. When you choose to live for an audience of one, we decide to do what is right where nobody else sees. So when a dodgy business deal comes along, and you're going to make target, and your bosses are going to be happy, choose integrity. Because there's purpose behind that. And I'm not just preaching this stuff, I have to live this stuff as well. Just on Monday, I was playing indoor football. You know, Go Hooligans. Plug, it's a team name. Not a good team name, I know. And we were playing on Monday, and this team from the get-go was so in our faces. Within 2 minutes, Ashley, our sound guy over there, was playing with us. Within two minutes, guys, there's still 40 minutes left. Just pulls our goalkeeper by the throat. Within 2 minutes. Anyway, God's with us. God's by our side. We beat them. We win. Thank you, Jesus. But afterwards, these guys are angry. They are riled up. And we're just sitting. We're doing our own thing. And this guy starts stepping to my face. Right here. And the first thing I think is, your breath smells terrible. And the name on my shirt says Heinz, so he calls me tomato sauce. So I'm like, is that like, are you mocking me? What's happening? Do I look great? I don't understand. But it's in my face. And all of a sudden, he loses his mind. He just gives me a push as hard as he could. I hit the net. I bounce back. And now I have a decision there. Do I choose live for audience of one? Do I choose integrity? Or do I choose image? Do I unleash the fiery hell of Rustenburg upon this man? Or do I follow Jesus? See, that moment I got to decide, like, well, I'm a Christian, I follow God. Like, what example am I leaving here? I have to be integrous with who I am in private, right? Choose integrity above image. Another decision we need to make, second last one, is choose faithfulness above fame. We live for the audience of one when we choose to be consistent, even if we are not noticed. Maybe you didn't get that promotion. Maybe you didn't get that increase. Can I say right now, don't stop working hard. Don't stop honoring God with your work in private. Be faithful. Every time we choose to be faithful, we sow a seed of faithfulness. And we will reap that reward, either in this life or the next. But be faithful. Maybe you're not getting invited into a leadership position at work or at church or wherever it may be. And that the decision is not coming as fast as you want. That invitation is not coming as fast as you want it to come. Can I encourage you to be faithful? It's in the waiting that God prepares us for the next. Eugene Peterson says this, the great, great majority of Christians are not destined to be famous, but they are destined to be faithful. Let's be faithful. And last decision we can make today, to live for the audience of one and not for the audience of people, is to choose eternal above instant. Choose the eternal above the instant. When you live for the audience of one, we choose what lasts forever over what feels good right now. We choose what lasts forever over what feels good right now. Well, what lasts forever? Well, let me give you a few things. The first thing that lasts forever is God's word. God's word lasts forever. Choose to read His word. Choose to build on His word. Choose His word as your basis of truth, no matter what culture says. What else lasts forever? Well, God's kingdom lasts forever. The kingdom of God lasts forever. So choose to invest your time, your resource, your brain into the kingdom of God rather than other things. Doom scroll a bit less and pray a bit more. You know, maybe just attend church a little bit less and serve a bit more. Whatever you got to do, get involved in God's kingdom. That's where you find our purpose. What else lasts forever? Well, God Himself lasts forever. Choose Him. Live for the audience of one. He promises to give us life and have it to the full. We choose eternal over the good things. Church, today we have a decision before us to choose the audience of one over the audience of people. It's the best way to live. And in fact, when we do this, we get a reward. We get the ultimate reward, which is Jesus, the love lavishing, power giving, faith giving Jesus, the sun breathing Jesus, the ultimate reward in life. The only way to receive this reward is live for Him and Him alone. And with that, we've got a few decisions to make. We've got to choose significance above convenience, obedience over applause, integrity above image, faithfulness above fame, and the eternal above the instant. But can I encourage you, when we make these decisions, they're not easy decisions, they're hard. But I encourage you, when we make them, Jesus notices, He sees, and He gives us what we need in this life. I know He sees. Well, Hebrews 4 verse 13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before His eyes, of whom we must give account. Church, He sees everything. And He honors the decisions we make. And today I want to talk to a few people. Today we have the opportunity to choose the internal above the instant. I'm talking to those people who maybe have never invited Jesus into their lives. You've never actually taken that first step to say, Jesus, I actually want to start living for eternity, not for myself. Today I want to give you that opportunity. It's my greatest privilege to introduce you to this amazing man and God called Jesus, who has everything that we need in life. So I'm going to give you this opportunity right now. So wherever you are, can I ask you to just bow your heads and to close your eyes. Today we're choosing the eternal above the instant. And I encourage you right now you have a decision to worry about the audience or about the one. So maybe you're worried if I raise my hand right now, people are going to think something. Or I'm worried about my family's going to think or how my life is going to change. Can I ask you right now for a moment, just forget about the audience of people and focus on the one. The one whose name is Jesus. He's in this room and he's knocking on the door of your heart. And he's saying, if you just invite me in, I have life and life for you to full. I have forgiveness for all your sins. I have purpose. I have hope. I have faith that I want to give you, says Jesus. So when I ask you to raise your hand, it's not to embarrass you. I just want to see who you are because it will be my greatest privilege to invite you into this space and to pray for you. So if that's you today, if you want to say, Jesus, I want to choose the eternal above the instant. I've never done this before. I've done this a long time ago, but I've drifted away. Now I want to come back into your heart. I want to come back into your kingdom. I want you to come back into my life. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in 3, 2, 1, wherever you are, just raise your hand nice and nice against who you are. Thank you, I see your hand over here. Anyone else? Nice and nice, thank you. Thank you, I see your hand right in the middle, I thank you. Thank you in the middle, I see you. Anyone else? On the balcony, I'm looking for you as well. This is your moment. Thank you, I see that hand over there. Thank you, I see that hand over there. Anyone else? This is your moment to say, thank you, I see your hand at the back over there. This is your moment to say, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. I want to live for you, Jesus. I'm tired of seeing that there's not enough in this world. I want you and you alone. Anyone else? One last call. There we go. Thank you, I see those hands. Thank you. Now I'm going to pray for you. If you've raised your hand, can I say right now, it's the best decision that you could ever make. I'm going to pray for you right now. You don't have to repeat after me or anything. You can just pray your own prayer or you can just listen to the prayer that I'm praying. But this is a moment between you and God to say, Jesus, open up my heart to you. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus, that you're with me in this place. Thank you, Father God, that we are able to give our lives to you in this space. Thank you that you've called us to be one with you. Thank you, Father God, that you've called us out right now, God, to live for you and for you alone. So Jesus, we ask you today to come into our hearts. Please forgive us of our sins. Please set us free from the things that hold us back. And from this on forward, Jesus, we choose to live for you and for you alone. Help me, Lord Father God, to take my next step so we can give you glory of all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website, and for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.